Hey there, friends. Welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and we're jumping into chapter 14 of Matthew. Chapter 14. So grab your Bible if you can, and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's Word together. So, Matthew chapter 14. Let's look back on 13 just real quick. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, we saw, it was a chapter all about parables. Jesus shared several parables. The parable of the sower, the weeds, the mustard seed, the yeast, the net, the pearl, kingdom of heaven. Jesus shared so many parables. And then in chapter 14, it's going to be a bit of a shift. And now we're going to see some miracles that you've probably heard of take place. And it'll be started off with a horrendous event of John the Baptist's execution by Herod. So, bit of a shift. A more somber tone as it starts off in chapter 14. So, that's going to be where we start in 14. That's our first look for. 3D look for us, as we always like to do. The first thing is we're about to read chapter 14. Notice how Herod reacts to Jesus' ministry. See, Herod's guilt is just paranoia over John the Baptist's death when he hears about Jesus. Keep your eyes, your ears peeled for that. Observe the tensions that come up, kind of social, political, starts to get a lot of friction rising up there in Herod's court. And you're going to see that political power, how that role and that element can play such opposition to spiritual truth. That's there. So listen for that as we start in 14. And then the next look for is that famous miraculous feeding of the 5,000. See, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Watch for his compassion. Don't just hear it for the miracle and be like, wow, that's cool. As we read it this time together, let's see the character of Jesus be revealed. He has a desire to feed the crowd, even despite his own desire of getting away from everything and solitude that he has there. And as that's happening, watch how the disciples have a concern about the cost and the how, I guess the logistical things of feeding such a large crowd. How are we going to do this? Watch that take place. And then last thing I want us to look for is Jesus, and this is another miracle of walking on the water. Jesus walks on the water. And in this, the same approach. Instead of seeing it surface level, let's watch the reaction of Peter. Pay attention to that. He had bold faith. But observe, notice, keep your eyes peeled. Whatever phrase we're going to use there. Watch how Jesus immediately reaches out to save Peter when he realizes and that faith starts to falter. So think about that there. Watch that happen and how that can relate to us. So there we are. Three big look forwards. Herod's reaction, Jesus' compassion feeding the 5,000, and this disciples' reactions to Jesus walking on water. And then we'll talk even more about it. So let's jump into that together. Matthew chapter 4. We'll start in one verse. And this one's a little bit shorter than 13. There's only 36 verses in this one. So Matthew 14 together. We'll start and see the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. Here we go. Here's Herod as we start in verse 1 of chapter 14. At that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard the report about Jesus. "This is John the Baptist," he told his servants. "He has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had arrested John, chained him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, since John had been telling him, "It's not lawful for you to have her." Though Herod wanted to kill John, he feared the crowd, since they regarded John as a prophet. Well, when Herod's birthday celebration came, Herodias' daughter danced before them, and it pleased Herod. So he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. And prompted by her mother, she answered, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." Although the king regretted it, he commanded that it be granted because of his oaths and his guests. So he sent orders and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. Then his disciples came, removed the corpse, buried it, and went and reported to Jesus. Verse 13. When Jesus heard about it, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted and it's already late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." "They don't need to go away," Jesus told them. "You give them something to eat." "But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here," they said to him. "Bring them here to me," he said. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now, those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." Well, he said, "Come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Verse 34. When they had crossed over, they came to shore at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they alerted the whole vicinity and brought to him all who were sick. They begged him that night that they might only touch the end of his robe, and as many as touched it were healed. That is the end of Matthew chapter 14. Let's take a moment to reflect and unpack and find application in what we just read together. Okay. Matthew chapter 14 is, we saw many things take place at the beginning, but I want to jump right into this, looking at Peter and the story of walking on the water. In this story, we see a powerful lesson about faith overcoming fear. When Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to do the impossible, right? Peter was bold and said, "Hey, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to walk on the water." Well, he did, and Jesus said, "Come," and Peter came right there, right? Started walking on the water and doing amazing things while keeping his eyes on Jesus. Now, this passage should encourage every one of us just to focus on Jesus in the middle of our fears, in the middle of the storms of life, while the wind is smacking up against our life and the storms are raging around us. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, and just keep that focus there, and not turning our eyes away, totally trusting in Him, we can do miraculous things and persevere and overcome the worries and concerns of this world. But it is when we take our eyes off Jesus and allow the distractions of the storms of this life to pull us away from our core focus of following Jesus, that's when we start to sink. Next thing is this feeding of 5,000. You know, these miracles are very, very popular in so many children's stories, and kids' lessons are taught from it, and sometimes we allow it to take the impact away from what it is teaching us as adults as well. This feeding of the 5,000 teaches us that Jesus can take our smallest offering and multiply it into abundant blessings, overflowing our expectations. It reminds us that if we can give what little we have to Jesus, He can use it in ways that go beyond our own limits. And I'm not talking about giving just financially. We need to consider what we can offer to God, whether it's our time, our talent, our resources, the blessings we've been given, and totally trust that He will use it for great things. Jesus can take what is scarce, as long as it is offered to Him, and multiply it in miraculous ways. So the question that we can ask ourselves in our spiritual journey is, what can I truly give over to Jesus? As much as we think it may be nothing in our eyes compared to what the world says it is, if we can offer it to Jesus, our talents, the Lord's blessed us with a talent in music, blesses us with a talent in caring for others, talking to anyone, writing a letter, sending a card, sending a message, whatever that talent is, you know what it is. What's the Lord blessed you with? Quit using it for our own glory, and let's refocus that on glorifying Him, whatever that may be. Offer it to God, and He will use it in ways that will far exceed your expectations. Not for your glory, but for His. And the final takeaway from our reading today is this word, compassion. Compassion. See, Jesus decided to feed the hungry crowd, even when He was heartbroken at the death of John the Baptist. He wanted to get away. He was trying to get away, but he loved them and wanted to feed them who had been without food for no telling how long. He was concerned for their physical needs and spiritual needs. You know, this should, as we model our lives after Jesus, this should teach us to be very attentive to the needs of those around us and not just ourselves. Keep an eye always on the needs of others and seeking ways to act with kindness and generosity to them, just like Jesus. And so practically, this is exactly what it is. We need to look for opportunities that are all around us for those that are in need. They are there, whether it's volunteering, donating, simply lending a listening ear, offering an encouraging word, what have you. There are those that are in need of what the Lord has given you, even if it's just you to say, how are you today? Offer a word of encouragement. Let them know the Lord loves them. Be compassionate towards the needs of others. Who's the Lord putting on your heart today? Right now, as you hear this, I encourage you to reach out to them with a message, or however you think the Lord is calling you to do that, to lift them up today. All right, that concludes chapter 14. I love it. We're not going to last 20 minutes this time. I apologize for those past few. They've been long. At any rate, we're going to wrap it up. Chapter 15 is the next one, and we're going to look at where Jesus discusses what truly defiles a person. And he also performs more miracles that highlight his authority. All right. Good deal. Thanks for joining me today. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And as a result, may you be a blessing to everyone around you. All for his glory. I love it. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media, or by word of mouth. Join in. Let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.